appreciated here, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm not going to lengthen or extend this out or multiply words, I promise. But I do have a specific, and it's an extremely important specific, I believe. I was gone on a trip out east to the northeast, and my trailer broke down. I was in Concord, New Hampshire, pulled into the Camping World. We took the tire off. I got a gentleman, a mechanic, that was going to do the work for me. Took the rear tire off. The shaft was just beat up and a bruise because the bearing itself had eaten it alive. And most of you guys understand what I'm talking about. Well, there I was in the parking lot of Camping World. They didn't have the shaft. They had bearings, but they didn't have anything else. So I sat there for 4 weeks and 3 days waiting to get my part that was supposed to, a new axle, supposed to be in that following Friday afternoon, and if not that Friday afternoon, it would be the Monday after that. That was in Nashua, New Hampshire. Arrived in town, had this problem. I went into the general manager there of the Camping World, and I said, "Man, I am so sorry. If you can tell me how to get my trailer out of your parking, I'll pay for it." He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "You know, get it out as quick as you can. Obviously, I need that space." But he said, "You sat here." So I did. I sat there without fresh water. I ran out of water with my black tank filling up, overflowing, and my gray water filling up and overflowing, and no way to get rid of that. So I would go to a gas station about a block down the road. Not telling this for your sympathy. I'm telling you this for this. God spoke to me, and I want to share that with you because it was a tremendous experience. I drove 30 miles to be able to go to a truck stop. They don't have truck stops back there like we have here. Drove 30 miles to a truck stop so that I could take a shower. So anyway, that was the conditions that I was living in. No electricity, so at night I would start my generator. I would run it to about 5 o'clock in the morning so that I wouldn't bother anybody with the noise when they came in to Camping World, because they were so good to me. They checked on me periodically. They asked if there's anything they could do. They were great. So anyway, when I first arrived, the sister that I was supposed to visit had been flooded, her home. Her house and her development was surrounded by water, and that was the big rains that they had back in the east, and it was day after day after day. So I talked to Buzz, went out, I visited other members, some in New Jersey, some down in New York, Dallas, which most young folks are familiar with, Dallas Breck, and others. Finally, after 2 weeks, I was able to meet with this sister. She had just really, you know, she had been baptized sometime earlier, but she had just really come into the gospel. Because of me being broken down, I spent almost 20 hours with this sister. I never spend that much time normally. I'm there for an evening, maybe a little bit the next day, and then I go on. And that's the way I can cover as much territory as I do. But for some reason, not some reason, I know the reason, God put me there. The very last week, I told Jennifer, "Jen, I've got to do something for this sister. I've got to give her something." And that's about the emphasis that I placed with Jenny when I talked to her. We were talking about this thing. So the night that I talked to Jen about it, I prayed about it earnestly. I'd already met with her about 14 to 15 hours, which is, again, really abnormal for the amount of time I spend with people. This sister, I went in and I spent another 4.5 hours with her 3 hours one day and then an hour and a half the next. So I spent almost 20 hours with this sister. I prayed to God that night that I told Jennifer I was really concerned about leaving her. Next morning, I was awoken. I didn't wake up. I was awoken. The Spirit of God spoke to me and said, confirm her testimony of the Book of Mormon. Confirm her testimony of the Book of Mormon. That's all. Now, she had been baptized as a good, meaningful candidate, and I believe that without reservation. But I did exactly what it said. I didn't even write it down. I just started studying for the class that I would have with her that day. I called Jenny. I was meeting with her in the afternoon. I called Jenny, and I said, well, I guess I have my message. She said, what's that? I said, I'm supposed to confirm to her her testimony of the Book of Mormon. She said, that's exactly the same testimony she had, that she had received after she prayed. This is what this sister wrote me, texted me, after our completion of our meetings. Not in one ear and out the other. You have given me a good base to go on, and now the Book of Mormon is making sense. And the reason why that was of concern to me, I believe, was because this lady belongs to a church that has no confidence, no acceptance, no deviation or degree thereof of the Book of Mormon. And her exposure to her baptism was relatively short-lived. Not in one ear and out the other, you have given me a good base to go on, and now the Book of Mormon is making sense. Now the Book of Mormon is making sense. Thank you. I am reading through cover to cover. I will be a little slow, though, because I want to absorb the message, and not just to say I read it. I know that is what Jesus wants. I am the reason, Brother Bob, that you are stranded here in our country, in our here. Our God is wonderful. May God bless you. I sent back a comment. She wrote me back and she says, got to page 70 last night. That may sound fast, but it read like a very good book and was easy to absorb and make sense of. I am glad I have a good knowledge of the KJV, King James Version, because it makes it very easy to relate the similarities of the two separate groups to one another. It makes sense. The authenticity of the Book of Mormon is true. That's because God opened the doors, gave us the opportunity to present. That affirmation was available to me before I went out there through Jennifer. And I knew without reservation. Now, if I go to Amos, 3rd chapter, the 7th verse. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Not suggesting I'm a prophet, but I am a servant. And the work that I was out there to do was being hindered by God. And God would not allow it to be hindered. I was able to meet with a number of people throughout that 4 weeks and 2 days that I was literally shut down. Did I have problems? You bet. Would I do it again? You bet. Because I saw a sister that was fed, who was convinced in her heart that she didn't understand the reason she had to be rebaptized. Is that wrong, Jenny? It's what she told us on the phone. Jen was in the car with me, and I had her on speaker. She said, I don't understand why I have to accept the Book of Mormon. Jen heard her. She was fed. And God made the opportunity available. It was nothing that we as men could do. Ezekiel 37, the 17th through the 19th verse, speaking of the scrolls, the sticks, the words to be written on the sticks, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. And make them one stick. The Book of Mormon, page 38. Starting with the 195th verse. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the record of thy seed, as well as in the record of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wherefore they both shall be established in one. For there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles. My presentation to you today is built on the premise that the Word of God is the complete path that you and I must follow, both the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Must become one in our hands. And by doing so, we will have the abilities through God our Father to teach His Word and to edify His glorious name and to bring strength to His people. Why is that important? Why is it important? One reason, our soul salvation. How many times have we heard the statement made, I can find salvation in just the Bible. I can find salvation in just the Book of Mormon. Brothers and sisters, it is not to be considered as one or the other. The Word of God is maintained and controlled and possessed properly, completely in the Bible, the book that came forth from the mouth of a Jew. And who was that? Who was it? Lehi went to his sons and said, guys, I've got a task for you. You got to go back into town and get the record from Laban. Oy vey. The other brothers didn't want to. Nephi said, if God commands it, he'll give us a way. They went back, and after a number of points, they brought back the book that came from the mouth of a Jew, who was later edified and testified and confirmed by the 12 apostles that he appointed in that day. Revelation, 20th chapter, 12th verse. You all have heard me read this before, I'm assuming. If not, you're probably fortunate. Excuse me. Revelation 20, 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, books, B-O-O-K-S, books, were opened. And when I present that oft times, many of you already know what they say. Well, that's the Old Testament and the New Testament. Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Except the Old Testament is about the Jew, is about Judah. It is about the law. It is about the Exodus. But is the New Testament about Joseph? No. No, it's not. It's not the Old and the New Testament. It's the Word of God as He gave it to. Why? Why did God make such a big thing about restoring His gospel? Why have men in the history been killed and their families abused, ran out from their homes and their possessions for the Word of God? So that you and I could have both. So that you and I could make it one in our hand. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now listen to this. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Brothers and sisters, we've got to lock in on the fact that God's Word in its totality is not either or. It is both. And to fear or be concerned or to have reservations about presenting the Book of Mormon because it's not widely accepted, at the time that you need the Word of God, it will be given to you. If we have the courage and the conviction of our brothers and sisters of old. Do you want to be a servant? Then set yourself up for a downfall. Paul's life, when he turned to the truth, was not easy. Nephi's life, when he turned to the truth, was not easy. Brothers and sisters, there has to be opposition in all things. If you want to be a servant, then prepare yourself because God needs you. He wants you. He desires you to use the talents and the abilities that you have. But be ready for the opposition in all things. Okay. Go to page 36 in the Book of Mormon. I'm sorry for being emotional. No, I'm not. I'm really not sorry. I apologize if it makes you uncomfortable, and I do apologize for that. But I believe in this experience so much. I wish I could shout it from the rooftops because it was that big of a situation as I was awoken, not just given to me in my sleep. I was awoken, told to confirm, and I immediately began to prepare for that sister's needs. On page 36, I'm going to start reading. On page 35, I guess. I'm going to start reading at the 165th, and then I'm going to jump through this scripture, but I'm going to stay in 1 Nephi 3, unless our pastor objects. No, okay, that's good. I'm going to start with 165, and the angel of the Lord. So that tells you the authority of what I'm going to read to you. The authority is Jesus Christ himself. If you don't believe it, then get on your knees and ask. Because the affirmation, the confirmation, the truthfulness of his word will be verified to you. The promise is yours and mine. Page 775 of the Book of Mormon, verses 3 through 6 tells us if we read it and if we ask with faith believing, we'll receive it. The answer. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, thou hast beheld that the book proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew. And when it proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, it contained the fullness of the gospel. It was precious in the sight of God. And it has continued to be, and God means it to be. It is precious in his sight. It is not over the Book of Mormon, or the Book of Mormon over the Bible. They are one in our hand. It containeth the fullness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record. And they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles. What was Paul's assignment? As an apostle in God's church, what was Paul's assignment? To the Gentiles. God had a love for his children, whether Jewish, Gentile, whatever, from the very beginning, and does today for you and I. And when you hold your children in your lap, or when you go have dinner with your grown children and see their lives that they are responsible for, pray to God that you can give them that witness of the completeness of the gospel that he has allowed you and I to possess. Wherefore, these things go forth from the Jew in purity unto the Gentiles, according to the truth which is in God. And after that they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, behold, after this thou seest the formation of the great and abominable church, which is the most abominable of all other churches. He speaks of the great abominable church at least four times throughout this recourse, but he never tells me what church it is. I understand from that, that's counterproductive to try to decide what church it is. Because the important thing is if you and I are presented any gospel, any doctrine that is in conflict with the teachings of God himself contained in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, we must turn away from it and hold tight to that rod of iron which he has testified to. And that testimony is for the edification of all of his children who will receive it. For behold, 168, for behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb. Who? The great and abominable church. And any church that presents anything against his word, you and I must be careful of. It's not an organization. He's not talking about the people. He's not saying that they're evil. He's saying that they change the plain and precious things. And all this have they done that they might pervert the right ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, thou seest that after the book hath gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, not an organization, not naming a church, naming an enemy that he says was origined, was organized, was endorsed by what? By who? By the devil. He says later that this great and abominable church was started by the devil, his enemy. Now, I don't care if you want to put a name with it. I think I know what that name is. But why should I cause friction and discontent on a supposition? It is sufficient for me to know that any group, any church, any manifestation which is against God, according to Hebrews 6, is not true and valid. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. Do we do that? Sure we do. And after that these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles. And after it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters which thou hast seen with the Gentiles, which have gone forth out of captivity. And thou seest, because of the many plain and precious things, listen to this, please. And thou seest, because of the many plain and precious things which have been taken out of the book, which were plain and precious unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which is in the Lamb of God, and because of these things which are taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceeding great many, your brothers and sisters, your friends and neighbors, your acquaintances, your loved ones. King Benjamin taught us that God does not look upon sin with the least degree. God does not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. He causes your brothers and sisters, your loved ones, your friends and your neighbors, he causes them to stumble, yea, insomuch that Satan hath great power over them. Our loved ones, Satan has power over them because of that wrongful effort of an organization, not the people. Nevertheless, thou beholdest that the Gentiles, which have gone forth out of captivity and have been lifted up by the power of God above all other nations upon the face of the land, which is choice above all other lands. And it speaks then about this land. Go over to 181. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, behold, saith the Lamb of God, after that I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, this remnant of which I speak is the seed of thy father. Wherefore, after I have visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after that the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb. Wherefore, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and most precious, saith saith the Lamb. I want to take you for a small example. We've all heard a sermon before. But because of my brother Sean's efforts, I can not only declare this, but I can give you a perfect example. If I go to, if I get my equipment to work right here, if I go to Psalms 37, 8 and 9, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Ephesians 4, 31, 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Alma 12:202. For behold, he hath repented of his sins. But if thou shouldest fall, now this is the king, Noah, that was going to strike his son because his son had not attended a festival that he had called him to. He had disobeyed him. For behold, he, your son, hath repented of his sins, but if thou shouldest fall at this time, in thine anger, thy soul could not be saved. The Word of God in both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, which are one in our hands. Now for my example that my brother showed me. And I think it's because your mother actually pursued this, right? Okay, I was wrong on that, but that's okay. I'm wrong on a lot of things. Anyway, our brother showed me this. Go to Matthew 5:22, if you will. Don McIndoe also put this out when we printed our new Book of Mormons. And they're little sheets that he gave to some people. I think Gary helped him on that. And you glue them right in there. And he gave this same example. Go to Matthew 5:22. Now, this is Christ speaking. This is Christ speaking. No way you can discount that it's Christ talking to you and I as he spoke to them of old. And he says, but I say unto you, I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with the brother without a cause. Now we just read five examples in the Word of God that says that we cannot have anger. If we have anger, we cannot. God does not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. So you tell me, does that make sense? I have a right to be angry with Neva if I have a cause. She didn't share her sandwich with me. That should be just cause, right, Neva? No. Why is that true? That is true because you and I are not gods. We are servants. We're not judges. We're servants. Our place is not to judge. Not even this example. it says, angry with thy brother without a cause. Does that make sense that in five other locations in the Bible he would say don't have anger? No. Go to 3 Nephi 5:70. Again, if you trace it back, Christ is speaking. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And whoso shall say to his brother, Raca, which makes the most sense with the other references that we read out of the Bible? Now, that's not a big thing, maybe. Maybe to you that's not really important. But they have changed the word of God, of Christ. They have manipulated that there is justification. Okay, brother, if I practice recompense instead of repentance, I can justify your actions and it's okay if we practice recompense instead of repentance. Go back to the Book of Mormon. Verse 181. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after that I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of which I speak is the seed of thy father. Wherefore, after that I have visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after that the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain, most precious parts of the gospel, what are we? What are we until we're baptized and adopted? What are we? We're Gentiles. And these efforts of this great and abominable church, not the people, please understand, not the people, have compromised your walk and my walk and our loved ones' walk with God. And after that the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb. Wherefore, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day. That's why he says later in the Book of Mormon, I am a just and loving judge. Jesus Christ, the Son of our God, is a just and loving judge. Why? Because he knows our very hearts. He knows our very experiences which we experience. Saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb, and in them shall be written my gospel. In them shall be written my gospel. Saith the Lamb, my rock, my salvation. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Yea, whoso shall publish peace. Isaiah 57. Yea, whoso shall publish peace, shall publish tidings of great joy. How beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. And it came to pass that I beheld the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the book of the Lamb of God, which had proceedeth forth from the mouth of the Jew. And I beheld that it came forth from the Gentiles unto the remnant of the seed of my brethren. Why is that important? Think about it. Why is it important that the Bible that was written and came forth from the mouth of a Jew, why is that important? Because those people of Israel must accept and embrace that word. Yes, you and I have received the Book of Mormon that we might be play on a level playing field, that we might have the great gifts and commandments that God has given his people. But those people, those brothers and sisters, they need that truth and that light that goes with it. And we, you and I, that have a testimony of the truth, must fulfill our commitment. Am I going to come to you and say, you've blown it, son. You might as well just head out. You're gone. Now, Sean, you're not too bad, but no, I've got to give both as one. I've got to. Jump over to 192. And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records, the Book of Mormon, which thou hast seen among the Gentiles, shall establish the truth of the first, which are the of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. If we go to 3 Nephi, 10th chapter, it says, we will assist in building of Zion. We will assist. There is a calling to use the complete word of God. And shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them. And shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, oh boy, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him or they cannot be saved. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. Doesn't say either or. It says from the mouth of the Lamb. The words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wherefore, they both shall be established in one. One in our hand. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles. And after that he hath manifested himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also to the Jews. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And it shall come to pass. Underline this, please. Look at it as a gift that will come to us, his servants, his workers, his lay members, his handmaidens. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, Betsy Trujan started out with a Book of Mormon read-through with 40 of her sisters. Some of you folks in this congregation participated in that. You know how many she had participating when she finished? Almost 150. And now, through the efforts, I think, of Darren and his family and some others down in Honduras and also Yucatan, they are taking that same plan to our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters. The Word of God is contained in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Confirm it in your hearts. Seek the truth. Ask God. Ask Him point blank. Page 775 of the Book of Mormon. I hadn't planned on this, so I plan to be done now, and it's noon. But I want to read this, okay? I am sorry. I do try not to hold people past noon. I do try that. Moroni 10, 3 through 6. Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam even down unto the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder in your hearts. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that ye would ask the Eternal Father in the name of Christ, if these things are not true, and if ye shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, and he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost ye may know the truth. The truth. In all things. And whosoever thing is good, and whatsoever thing is good, is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledge that he is. And what separates many of the children of Israel from our God? That testimony. Are they worth our efforts? You bet they are. It says that we are commissioned to go to them. You bet they are. May God richly bless you. And again, if I have offended anyone because of my volume or my enthusiasm, forgive me. But no, I do not apologize for testifying to you of the greatness of our God and the completeness of his plan and the fact that he is in charge. But we need these two books as one in our hands. God bless you, is my prayer. Thank you.